welcome to the Red Phone Zone, where we don't know what you're talking about, or what I'm talking about, I guess. With me, as always, is slumming it tonight. It's Mr. Ethron.
Hi, and I haven't been drinking.
He has not been drinking.
Okay. I have.
Over to my left would be slumming it Shay, I guess.
That's Super Shay.
Super Slaying Shay.
He's Super Shayin'.
Super Shayin'. Yes, yes. Tonight is our Halloween episode, and Ethan's dressed up like a nerd. Shay is dressed up like a Super Saiyan, and I'm dressed up like drunk. I misread the memo. But, yeah, this is a weekly podcast, geekcast, videocast, where we talk about all kinds of things that are relevant to us geeks. This week, we are going to have three topics, the first of which is going to be a we make it of a scary movie. I'm really looking forward to this one, because I actually might actually be able to say a thing or two about it. After that, we're going to be a top six of our most favorite scary movies, horror movies, something of that nature. And we'll be following all that up with a watch this of, what year did that show come out? 1974, Kolchak, The Night Stalker. So that should be interesting. But before we do any of that, we start off every show with the segment we like to call Geekly Happenings. So when we talk about news segments that are relevant to us geeks, I would really want to open up everything with the newest Batman news. The newest Batman movie has two very interesting news tidbits added to it.
Yep.
The first of which is the title. It's going to be called Dark Knight Rises. Thoughts, guys?
I would prefer Shadow of the Bat, but...
I would prefer Gotham or Gotham City.
Yeah.
However, does it...
I see that they're probably trying to capitalize on The Dark Knight. It's huge
success. It's what I said to Tyler earlier today. I'm not surprised. It really strikes me as a studio-sanctioned title.
Yeah.
On top of that, it has been stated, noted, confirmed that the Riddler is not going to be the villain in The Dark Knight Rises.
Actually, the movie should start filming, I think they said next...
March.
March or something?
I believe it was March.
I thought it was interesting. We were looking at the website earlier today together, and they had like a list of like 10 people that were rumored to be the Riddler, and now it's none of those people.
It was on IMDb.
Yeah. Have anything to do with the movie at all, because there is no Riddler.
Yeah, you know, it's IMDb, and they make shit up.
And it looks as though there's a rumor about a Harvey Bullock character who is the...
Tom Hardy. We reported on him actually being cast in the movie, I think it was two shows ago. And right now, the rumor on the web is that he's going to be playing Harvey Bullock. I would really like to see that, honestly.
Yeah, that would be... I wouldn't mind that at all, actually.
What I said to Shay, and I think I may have even said it on the show before, is I would love to see a Batman movie without any costume villains, without any Jokers or Two-Faces or anybody of the nature, and they actually...
Batman versus the world, basically.
Well, Batman versus the Gotham Police Department.
Yeah.
It's what was set up in the end of The Dark Knight.
Yeah, but my...
It isn't going to happen.
It isn't going to happen, because I just don't see where you go with that.
I can see where you go with it, but,
it's a very realistic story.
While the police department would be an antagonist to Batman, it's not an antagonist to the city.
Exactly.
And so Batman doesn't have anything he has to stop. Just be...
He's saving his own
city. In order for the movie, if the Gotham Police Department was the antagonist, Batman would just have to stay home and he'd be fine.
Yeah, it'd be a movie if you're just standing there looking at people.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking for this costume.
So there has to be some other reason why he goes out of the Batcave to go fight the bad guys.
And I agree.
And then the police have to come after him, obviously.
Right.
Well, I mean, it's like we said in our We Make It Batman 3. I really want to see them capitalize on the whole no crime figures in place. You know, and like fighting for, you know, power of the crime market in Gotham. And that could be done, but, you know... Even if I were the studio, I would not allow there to be a Batman movie made without some sort of costume villain. And honestly, I was telling Shay earlier that, you know, with what we have established so far, at least officially established so far, I would have more faith in this movie than I did in The Dark Knight or Batman Begins if they came out and said it's going to be the Black Mask. Because that is absolutely the right villain.
And now that I know more about Black Mask...
I love Black Mask.
Just from watching Red Hood.
Yeah.
I'd agree. I think that'd be great.
They did him very...
They could do the Black Hand.
Yeah, they could do that too. Yeah. But he... it's great, and I am on record as saying how much I love the Black Mask and Under the Red Hood. He's not really very... much like the comic book, he was very comical. He was over the top and punchy.
He's very Scarface.
Yeah. But, you know, he would be a really good villain for this movie, and I'm interested to see where it goes. I don't care if they say that it's going to be Kolchak is the villain. I'm going to see this movie. I'm going
to
see this
movie. My thought was that, as far as the trilogy is concerned, it'd be neat to see them bring back the Legion of Shadow and then shoehorn Talia in, basically, as the real leader of the, you know, just so they could get that in there. And that would, to me, that would bring in a nice circular trilogy, you know, starting with the Legion of Shadow, ends with Legion of Shadow kind of concept. But I can see Aaron's point, which is...
The Aaron in me would love to see that. I would love to see more Ra's al Ghul. I'd love to see Talia al Ghul. I'd love to see, like Shay says, some sort of, you know, cyclical storytelling of, you know, coming back to where they started. It isn't going to happen. I mean, they're going to they're probably going to put the Black Mask, and so far we have it confirmed there is not going to be a Penguin, there is not going to be the Riddler, there is not going to be Freeze. And
they're not bringing Joker back.
They're not bringing Joker back. So, I mean, I guess, you know, at that point they could do, you know, Ra's al Ghul or the Scarecrow or, you know, a ton of people. But at this point, you know, it just doesn't make good business sense to, you know, make a movie with the same villains from before.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you have such a rich tapestry of villains like you have in Batman, you just really don't want to.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing we were saying was that with Rachel's death, they have a big opening to bring in.
Yeah, like a love interest.
Yeah, you could totally bring a, you know, drive a truck through that plot hole.
Yeah, right.
It's amazing. So, yeah, we're looking forward to that. What else have we got, Ethan? Deeply happening.
So really, honestly, it's not a whole lot came out this last week.
No, not really. There's been a lot of little stuff.
A lot of sort of announcement of what's not happening.
Yeah.
You know, Khan will not be the villain in Star Trek.
That's what I was trying to remember.
That type of thing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I mean,
going to be a character from the original television series, and there's a group of people who are big fans of Mudd.
They did say that there will be some a classic character appearing in it, and they gave sort of a list of four different possibilities, and Henry Mudd was one.
I don't know.
There were like two episodes of the old series where he came in and.
I'll take your word for it.
Well, the other one they talked about was Trelane, which essentially is the Q entity from the original series.
The proto Q.
Yeah. He's completely out there. But he's the Squire of Gothis.
I just don't know.
It's sad that I know all this, but, you know.
It is. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the idea of using Mudd. It seems like
I'd be interested if they
and
Mudd
be like
or Trelane.
30 hot chicks thrown into the movie, you know.
Woo!
We've lost Aaron.
No, I'm just... Well, I mean, I know... I mean, I don't know what you're talking about, but I am listening here.
And, well, and the other thing is, Hobbit will be in New Zealand.
Will be in New Zealand.
That's cool. I mean, they moved... I mean, it makes a whole lot of sense. I mean, they were talking about it not because of some sort of a labor strike. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're just all, you know what? We need to get over this shit because that's going to bring a lot... That's going to bring a lot of money. It's going to bring a lot of... It's going to bring a lot of coverage for New Zealand. And, you know... I've heard the number before. I'm not even going to pretend to quote it right now, like the kind of money that the Lord of the Rings brought in, but it's huge.
Yes, and it's brought in millions of dollars since then in just tourism.
Oh, sure.
For obvious reasons that I'm sure, you know, union leaders and legislators out there are like, this needs to be fixed now.
We can. You can actually take a vacation to the Shire.
Yeah.
Is that the truth?
Yeah.
See, Shay said, I had never heard that.
Whoa.
Shay said something to me about that, and... I'm pretending that, or I'm not pretending, I've never heard
of
it.
He was pretending that I was making up.
No, it wasn't. I just said that, like, I assumed that they tore it down.
No,
because they tear down 99% of all movie sets after they're done.
But it was specifically because they were able to make a tourist spot that they decided to keep it, which when I read about that, I was like,
yes,
Rachel.
Gonna
do that someday.
Where in New Zealand? Where was
I don't know. Hobbiton.
I don't know specifically.
Isn't that what it's called? Hobbiton?
Hobbiton.
Spielberg will be his next movie he's directing is
Robopocalypse. Yeah.
What?
That's based on Daniel H. Wilson's Robot Uprising novel, which I've never heard of. So.
The name Robot Uprising sounds familiar. It's interesting that Steven Spielberg would do something that sounds so, I don't know, kitschy.
You ever heard of Steven Spielberg?
Well, I guess
he grabs onto... popular ideas and capitalizes on it. But Ethan, you know, fucked up a nice little segue we had going there when we were going to be talking about the Hobbit casting.
Mm-hmm.
We
there's some news.
But there's a lot of news, and I can't really find it online. But Bill O'Baggins has been cast as Martin Freeman. Mm-hmm. You would know him as the lead from The British Office. He was in Love Actually, one of my favorite movies. I've been on record many times saying that. If you guys have seen the movie, there was the little subplot of the two porno actor stand-ins. There was the uh-huh. the female and the guy, and Martin Freeman is the guy. And
okay.
You know, I don't care.
Say, wasn't he? Oh gosh.
Yes, he was a gosh.
Yeah, no, Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yes, he was. I haven't seen it. I don't know anything about it, yeah, but he was.
That's the other thing I remember. And he was briefly in Hot Fuzz.
Yes, he was in Hot Fuzz. He was in Shaun of the Dead. Mm-hmm. He's in a lot. I did not notice him.
And, I think it's official now. Sylvester McCoy,
yeah.
Who was the seventh Doctor of Doctor Who, has been signed to play Radagast the Brown.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. So,
I am trying to start a writing campaign for me, Aaron, from the host from the Red Phone Zone. I would like to play Bard. I think I could pull it off. I am an archer, and I really need the money. I need a job. And yeah. I think everybody...
Really helpful to the show, too.
Yeah.
Peter
yeah.
Jackson at the Hub.
If you let him be in the show with the Red Phone Zone shirt on.
That'd be
perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All other authentic everything, it's just the Red Phone Zone.
I think
shirt.
You think he can play Smaug. I think he'd be very, oh, yeah. very, very good Smaug. And you can
although he has the hair, really.
I think you can do a pretty decent Smeagol, actually.
That's true.
But Andy Serkis has already been signed.
For yeah.
And that is another little part of that. And I'm going to not pretend that, you know, it hasn't happened. All
what
the 12...
Elf King? The Elven King. Sorry.
If you want to do the Lucky Shay show, go over there and do it. But there has been all 12 of the dwarves. They are, have been mm-hmm. cast... none of them I had heard of, except yeah. for the guy that was playing Thorin, and I cannot remember for the life of me who it was. Mm-hmm. But he has been cast, and it has been confirmed that both Ian McKellen as Gandalf and Andy Serkis as yeah. Gollum or Smeagol will be returned.
I think the other thing I've heard that's still up in the air is David Tennant might be up for
I heard that.
Part of... they haven't said
they haven't
part
said who, but I bet it'll be Bard.
Which obviously everyone's sort of like, well, there will be two Doctor Who's in this, so, you know.
That's
interesting,
true.
And I like David Tennant, you know. Sebastian McCoy.
Who's he?
Radagast the Brown.
Oh, right.
You are drunk.
I'm drunk. Leave me alone.
That's true. The only other thing I've got is video game news. The Champions MMO is going for free online play starting next year.
Really? Champions?
MMO. Massively multiple online something.
Mm-hmm. Massively multiplayer online.
Yep. See, that's always just struck me as like a name that's shoved in there.
Morp.
To make it sound.
Morp.
What about the... I don't know what we can call it, but it's totally news that Robert Rodriguez will not be directing the Deadpool movie, and I cannot remember the name of the dude that will be doing it, but he's a commercial director. And
You said he was Swiss, like he was a director?
Swiss or Swedish or something like that.
Swedish director of some commercial.
Yeah, I watched the commercial, and it was, I don't know.
Good for him.
Well, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I don't have to have heard of the guy. I mean... You know, we need new talents in the industry.
Mm-hmm. But as far as PP happenings, that's all I got.
How about the proposed Order of Ruthaz nominee, proposed because I shot it down, Mr. Mel Gibson, being
yes,
cast
it.
In the role of a... It's just a cameo role in The Hangover 2.
Uh-huh.
He was cast in the role, and he was going to be playing a tattoo artist.
Uh-huh.
And they came out, oh, big news, Mel Gibson's going to be playing, the tattoo artist in Hangover 2. Next day, Mel Gibson may not be playing the tattoo artist because of cast and crew complaints.
Right.
And, you know, third day, Zach Galifianakis says he will quit the movie if he is in the movie. Fourth day, Mel Gibson's been fired.
Right.
Fifth day, Liam Neeson is taking the part.
Yeah.
Hey,
I like Liam Neeson.
I love him. You know what? I don't... You know, the dude had a bad drunk night, and he's an asshole, and you know what?
Well, it seemed like, I mean, he had that first incident, and then...
He made it worse.
He actually started rebuilding a bit, and then he did something else that was stupid, and so that knocked him back down, so...
And I'll give him that. You know, as far
we
as...
We miss Riggs.
I totally miss Riggs. I do miss Riggs. But you know what? Fuck Riggs. I'd rather have Liam Neeson any old day of the week.
That's true.
You know what? And I feel... 1,000% confident saying that, like, none of this anti-Semitic shit happened with Mel Gibson, I would still prefer Liam Neeson. He is easily one of my favorite actors.
Taking away the bad element.
I don't care about the bad element.
Well, you're
honestly.
Right. Yeah,
you
just prefer Liam Neeson.
I do, and he's a better actor. Granted, Mel Gibson's probably a funnier actor, but mm-hmm. I love Liam Neeson, and I would totally be gay for him.
Yeah, Liam Neeson's much more of a straight man.
He is. I don't really have anything else. I mean, anything relevant that I can think of. How about you? Do you have any geek?
My geekly happenings was the Star Trek thing.
I'm very proud of you for coming up with that. But yeah, we spent a lot of time talking about the. Spent a lot of time talking about Batman. So I think it's safe that we move on. We are going to be right back with We Make It, a Scary Movie. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey guys, we are back with We Make It. As it is the 27th of October, it only seems fitting that we're going to be doing something of a Halloween special. What's more Halloween-y than scary movies, horror movies? And so we're going to be having something of a roundtable discussion of what it's going to take to make a scary movie in this day and age. And this is a segment that I am probably the 100% most prepared for that I've ever been from any segment ever, because this is a long time discussion and or thought that I've had in my head. And I kind of popped the cherry a little bit with Ethan in the truck the other day when we were moving to bed. When I was telling him that I cannot think of a movie for the life of me that scares me. And I'm not trying to be macho or anything. I'm not saying that I'm above fear. There are things that mm-hmm. I fear. You know, I fear that Rachel will leave me. I fear the day that Poof will die. You know, I fear being alone. But but none of those things add up to a scary movie.
Are tangible.
Are tangible topics for
we
a horror movie.
We can film that.
It's like a clown.
You know, like when
it's
you
like a clown. It's like snakes. It's not an irrational fear like.
Like, you know, you are scared of snakes, okay. And I find that irrational, and he's scared of clowns, I find that irrational. But,
it's
you know...
creepy.
But, be that as it may, I can follow the train of thought where a snake can be scary. They can bite you, they can poison you, you can die. It isn't probably going to happen, and snakes...
I get technical about it, clowns could bite you too.
Yeah, but you're not going to get poisoned.
Well,
the human mouth
you.
Is filthy.
They can
attack
you with weapons.
But snakes do serve an ecological function. You know, they're a part of this world. Clowns makes less sense to me.
Clowns aren't a part of the ecological
function. No, but they are there to make people happy. And they're there to make kids laugh and things like that.
Sure.
Or cry.
Doesn't make sense.
As the case may be.
Be that as it may, you know, I'm going to throw off my hat and say, you know, I'm fucked up in the head, and I'm just not scared of those kinds of things. You know, like, I look at a movie like Anaconda, or I look at a movie like It, and I'm literally more scared of a situation like Kramer versus Kramer. You know, I'm more scared of the idea of being a good father and doing everything I can to be a good father for that child than having my stupid-ass hippie ex-wife take the kid away from me on a you know,
technicality
of some sort of legal basis. That's a more scary thought to me. So I don't think making a movie to scare me is what we need to do. So moving on.
Clowns versus snakes in a courtroom.
Okay, we got it. No, I don't know.
The snakes are bringing the lawsuit.
Against
clowns?
Maybe.
Other way around.
I actually
maybe they're countersuing.
I do have an idea, and it's a very basic idea, about how to make an interesting horror movie in this day and age. I'm probably going to be crucified for bringing it up.
I'll get the nails.
But at the same time, I do think it can happen. Talking about, you know, we always anticipate these, we always approach these in terms that we are movie producers.
Right.
And what I would do, let's say I'm sold, I need to come out with the next biggest thing, you know, in the horror movies.
Aaron, you need to come out with the next biggest thing in horror movies.
What I would do is I would shop the market, and I would look for some sort of really good script, and then I would find a really interesting way to take horror and put it into a 3D movie. Because I think that, I think that, you know, horror, or rather 3D, is like the last thing that 3D has not touched. And, you know, 3D is very good for...
Well, And I'd argue that it's touched the hell out of it. I mean,
and you know, I'm sure you would, but I'm sure most people would, but not in the terms of what I'm thinking.
Yeah, not in terms of, it's more...
It's a very good...
More gimmicky thing for horror.
No, you're right. It's totally gimmicky, and it's really good for the startle moments. I don't... When I think of a movie that scares me, it's not the fucking T-1000 stepping on the skull and crushing and scaring me. That's not the same thing. That's startling. I mean, I'm, that I'm not above. I can be startled in the
middle. Well, it comes down to that there's a difference between being terrified and being horrified. Mm-hmm. And most scary or horror movies nowadays is you have are there to gross you out, and
that's
they're
stupid.
And that's a different sensation than being scared. I mean, you have movies like Saw 904. Right. That comes out.
I actually like the Saw movies. They don't scare me, but I like them.
And see, I'm sort of sitting in your shoes. When if those movies don't scare me either, because they're just kind of ridiculous.
It's funny.
So it's like
I think they're relatively intelligent because they're very well thought out, and you know, like every single step and every single note has to be hit for them to play out, which you know makes them a bit unrealistic. But you know, I'll give them that. You know, it's not just fucking Jason 17 with him chopping up yet another person's head with a machete. You know, that's not horror to me. That's a slasher.
That's a slasher, yeah.
And, you know, and
too many people nowadays think that is a horror.
It isn't. I love slasher movies. I grew up on Friday the 13th. Mm-hmm. They don't fucking scare me, but I like them. And, you know, when I think... I don't think that I'm the demographic for trying to scare. Because you're just not going to get there because I've watched so many movies to where... I just have a disconnect with reality to where I'm not scared that I'm going to get killed by the jigsaw killer. Or mm-hmm. I don't think the snake is going to jump through the screen and eat me, and I don't care about clowns. I mean, that's just not how I work. But I do think that, and you're absolutely right, that 3D has manipulated the hell out of the shock factor.
Yeah.
I 100% agree with you there, but I do not think it's crossed over into the actual horror of scary. And I'm not pretending like, you know, I have like a really good, you know, hammered out idea, but just something along the lines of like a ghost story or an alien story.
You could do it a very interesting thing using the technology is if you used it smartly.
Right.
It would just be, you wouldn't need the big special effects budget. You wouldn't need that.
I'm talking about with that special effects budget.
Right.
You use that third dimension to your advantage. You know, like you use that third dimension as the, you know, quote unquote ghost realm, and as the audience, you can see, you know, the ghost realm and what's going on, and then you have like the second dimension with like, mm-hmm. you know, with the cast and so forth, and they can't see it, but as an audience member, you can be sitting there watching, you know, both kind of sides of the story where you have the third dimension up here.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's a really cool idea.
I don't think it would scare me, but I think that would be using, it would be doing horror in a completely unique way, and it would be using the 3D element in a very unique way. It's not just popping out because it looks cool.
So the key thing that you're going for in a horror movie is, one, you have to at least somewhat connect with the characters in it, so when they're in danger, you're feeling some sort of anxiety.
Right.
And then... As a horror movie, the horror movie has to give you that wink of saying, there's danger here that they don't know about.
And
you do.
And that can be done so well with using that third dimension.
Yeah.
You know, where you almost have two simultaneous stories.
Makes me really wish that Hitchcock was still alive and could be directing with this technology now.
Yeah, that would
be interesting.
Because he would utilize it.
But actually, Birds 3D.
You know, that's not relevant. But like the Exorcist 3D. That could be fucking cool.
Yes.
Because you could see the puppet mastering behind the scenes, but it'd be right up in front of you, and then you have the second dimension over here with Reagan and you know Father Karras and so forth,
mm-hmm.
and that would be an interesting thing to me. And Ethan is on record hardcore of saying fuck 3D. I'm not willing to throw in the towel on.
Well, I'm on record saying fuck 3D at your home.
You're on record of saying fuck 3D as the standard, and I'm on record saying the same thing.
Yeah.
But I don't think that we...
Am I on record saying that?
Yes.
Oops.
What I'm saying is I don't think that it's been used to its full potential yet.
And I think that's very true.
My biggest beef with 3D is I don't like the desaturizing of the colors because the glasses are so dark. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I don't care. I do think they do it too much.
Yeah.
But I do think a 3D horror movie in something along the in the realms of what I'm talking about would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt it would scare me, but that's who I am. I'm not jumpy like that. I mean, but I do think it would be very interesting.
I really like that idea of a ghost story where...
Or just something like that.
Well, no, just that basic idea of... You got a 3D movie where the ghosts exist in the 3D, so they're right there with you.
It comes down to what you want for what the content of the scary movie to be. I mean, and most people are going to shy away from... I mean, I would ultimately want to dismiss a monster movie because it's a monster movie. It's like, it's a shark that was whatever.
They have their place, but you don't need to spend an extra $75 million on them just to make it 3D.
Exactly. But if you're...
I enjoyed Piranha 3D, honestly.
If you want to do something extra creative and do a good ghost story type of thing, you know, I mean, it could be ghost or it could be, you know... H.P. Lovecraft said, I mean, the greatest fear is fear of the unknown.
Right.
And I mean, I'm a big fan of letting the brain
fill
in the blanks, because that's going to scare you more than actually seeing things.
The 3D was just a little
and I have a feeling that our... That,
a little bit. That'd be interesting.
It's nothing against Shay, but I have a feeling that Ethan and I's top sixes are going to reflect that.
Yeah.
The whole not seeing everything. And, you know, Shay's might, but I know Ethan's taste in movies is closer to my own. So,
no, you might be surprised by my list.
I very well might be. I might want to suck your dick after the show because it's such a great list. Probably isn't going to happen,
but it might.
Maybe it's the hair.
It might be the super shaven hair.
All natural, by the way.
So, you. What,
no hair products.
Now, I've 100% guided this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So, why don't you go ahead and put in your two cents without me interrupting?
Okay, that's it. Essentially, well, you know, I have put in a few of my two cents as far as I wouldn't go for the monster movie model. I would want to go for something that tells a bit more of a story, that has a bit more of a connection to the audience type of thing. And really, ultimately, if you're going with something like a ghost story, if you're going with something like that, is instead of spending a lot of money in the movie on, say, the prosthetic of the monster, instead you can spend it on getting yourself a good script, on having effects that look right. And I think the idea of using 3D and having just a regular two-dimensional movie, but you have the 3D elements that are
the spirit world.
And I'm not even talking to use
the supernatural stuff.
I like that.
I don't really like the idea of using it to augment a story that'll work in 2D. I want to see a 3D horror movie to where if you watched it on 2D, it would not be the same movie.
I see what you're saying. I think that's a fascinating idea. I don't think a studio anywhere would do it.
I would do it.
Red
Phone Zones Productions would.
Exactly. And it would be one of those that would be very, very interesting.
It'd be kitschy.
It would be. And it'd be one thing that would not catch on. Like, it wouldn't be good at home video, obviously.
And you know what the bitch is? I doubt it would do that good in the theater.
Probably.
It would be one of those movies like, you know, Psycho. 50 years later, we're talking about how great it was. It didn't do shit in the theater.
Yeah.
And, you know, Hitchcock never knew how, you know, greatly it was received.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks, but I can see it going down.
Okay, I just had an idea. It could be in a sorority.
Okay, so, at any rate, 3D.
Yeah, so three dimensions.
What?
Do you have, like, anything... Do you have anything you want to add? Okay, a sorority.
Yeah.
So far you've lost me, but sell me.
I think it'd be great. You know, girls and...
Tits in 3D?
Ghosts. Yeah. No, they wouldn't be 3D, because they'd be the 2D element. Girls are in danger. There's a whole bunch of them. They're all.
Well, I think this is also the first time we've done a We Make It where we're tackling an abstract concept.
You're not
making X-Men 4 or anything like that. We don't have the basic building blocks of a plot line of characters that we'd use.
And see, the thing about it is, you know, like, especially this segment more than any other we've ever done, you know, like, say that each one of us individually did it, we would probably have three very different movies.
Easily, yeah.
But, you know, like, you know, Batman 3, I think we would probably wind up along the same lines.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this one, there isn't going to be anything that's going to scare me so far. At least, I mean, it's not going to be a good movie, you know, like, I would hate to see a movie about the day Poof dies, but I don't think right. anybody else would give a shit.
Yeah,
about
yeah. I mean, it would be,
like,
it would be,
surprised.
It'd be a very personal movie. It would be a personal view, but no one else would care.
And that's well, fine.
Okay, everyone, we're sorry that your cat died, but why nobody am I paying $12 to see this?
And nobody else would shoot themselves in the head after that movie. Like,
right. Me. Right.
And, you know, and I just feel like I had this discussion with both of my parents and both of my sisters. You know, because I was looking for something that I had buried in the past that terrified me. And there wasn't anything. There was nothing like that for me. And I just really feel like I'm trying to come across macho. And yeah. it's not the case. It's just, well, I don't get scared by movies.
I think a scary movie is hard to do if you want to play on fears like that. So ultimately, in a movie, you need to have something, you need to have something that you can, that you're afraid of.
There's a snake over there, Ethan. That would you would piss your pants.
Exactly.
I would bite its head off.
but
it doesn't scare me.
Whereas the types of things that everybody is afraid of, you know, of losing family, you know, losing one, that's
which
sort of
could
thing,
be a fantastic.
Those aren't considered scary movies,
but they're not a horror movie.
You're right. Those are dramas.
Yeah.
You know, those are sad movies.
Yeah.
Or what, but everyone does fear that. But you're not going to see a horror movie where.
I don't have a
and
my brother died
and Poof dies
yes.
and the cat died and you know that would fuck me up and everyone else would be all like you're good at least the guy didn't die but I don't have a clear cut phobia and I've literally spent hundreds of hours like thinking about this and it honestly kind of bothers me that I'm not scared of anything because it makes me think I'm naive or something. That you know, because world sucks.
Fundamentally being scared in a movie like that, in a scary movie, quote unquote, is irrational.
How old were you when you could see Raiders of the Lost Ark for the first time?
All the way through.
Yeah.
Like watch the snake scene.
Yeah.
29, 30, something like that. No, it was sooner than that. It was like 25, maybe.
But,
yeah, that scene at the end of the first Indiana Jones is kind of frightening with the spears coming out of the...
That's ones and zeros. That doesn't scare me. Snakes don't scare me.
We're not trying to scare you, Aaron. We're trying to scare other people.
But I'm pretending like I'm the audience.
Sure.
So it's just not going to be scary. It's just going to be something...
And so that's why I'm trying to make an interesting movie instead of a scary movie.
So are we talking like okay? So we want to let's. What do we have so far? Is
we want to do it in
3D, ghosts, spirit world, 3D stuff. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that.
You need to connect with the audience with sort of this irrational type of fear.
You're gonna do that. You're just gonna have to do that with a really good script, and that's why we have to shop the script.
It could be some sort of like. Fraternity hazing that goes wrong.
Why do you keep going back to that?
It popped in that.
Christ,
head.
Dude.
You got something else?
Well, we are like, 12, 15 years removed from that. I just can't believe your brain goes to that.
It just seemed like a good setting.
I don't know. I mean, like, you don't make movies for 30-year-olds. You don't do it.
Right, so
nobody
you're making
does
it for college age.
Yeah,
kids, and you're right, and... I wouldn't find that a very rewarding enterprise, honestly, trying to make a movie to scare 12-year-olds.
There's a reason why horror movies are the easiest movies to finance, is because...
They're also cheap to make.
They're cheap to make, they're easy to finance, and they make their money back really easily, because lots of people want to go see a crappy horror movie.
And I've seen plenty of them.
Yes. There are plenty of them. Just watch really anything you see on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah.
Uber.
Sharktopus?
Sharktopus.
Mansquito?
Ralph Garman was a
Sharktopus. Mansquito. Oh.
I don't know. I liked Piranha 3D, kind of. I mean, it wasn't a good movie, but they used 3D pretty well. There's a really hot underwater lesbian sex scene.
See,
it's kind of cool.
And I don't think I would be scared by that movie.
Oh,
I would laugh my ass off.
And that was it.
That's my thing. It's most slasher films.
We're not trying to make...
I was like, that's so...
I'm not trying to make a movie that's a...
Jason X was hysterical.
Oh, I love Jason X. It doesn't scare me. I mean,
no, but it's hysterical.
Oh, it's a great movie, but it doesn't scare me. But in terms of, we're not trying to make a slasher movie that makes us laugh. I mean, we're trying to make like one of those, you know, movies that literally scares the shit out of people. The Blair Witch Projects, the It's, the Exorcist, shit like that. Yes, Rachel.
My idea of a scary movie is something that I could take home with me and it would still scare me. Arachnophobia, I slept like this with my hands covering my nose for like 3 years after I saw that movie.
And see,
it scared me.
And that hits on people's
arachnophobia.
It's irrational fear of spiders. Yeah.
And I don't have that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. we've covered
as
that.
As an audience member, that's
what right. Those are the things you want to connect with
that
people
that I take home and well, I'm so scared of it.
Yeah.
The most common phobia in the world is speaking in front of crowds, if I remember right. And I don't think that would translate very well to
not
really. Like, oh my God.
It's an intangible.
Yeah.
It's an intangible fear. It's not something like, I am scared of snakes.
Yeah.
I am scared of walking out and talking to someone. Well, you have control over that. You don't have to go out and talk in front of those people.
But if you can capitalize
on that. If someone brought in a snake, I don't have control over whether a snake comes in.
Yeah, she can leave.
You know, if it's not walking the door, it's that type of thing.
But you could also step over, chances are.
Chances are, yeah.
If you can make a movie that really capitalizes on the idea of speaking in public, or fear of flying, or fear of terrorist attacks, that's another big one. You make more money than Avatar. But they're just such complex ideas.
Ultimately, what you want out of any scary movie is not the scare itself, but the anticipation or the tension that they draw out.
And
the
only way you're going to do that is going to be to package it as a like a buddy comedy or just like a regular drama, and then you get 3/4 of the way through the movie, and then ghosts show up. You know, that would be unnerving to me, more than, the Friday the 13th.
Well, I think most audiences think annoying.
And that's
right.
Dumb.
Well, here's an idea. I just had this idea. What if the idea is, so we've got a ghost story premise, basically. What if the ghosts are able to, like, take possession of people and make them do things that they don't know of? So that's sort of a scary concept. Like I'm losing control of myself. And
now, if you can find a way to cross that over to the audience, that'd be cool.
Well, that would be neat.
Buy
popcorn.
Well, you know what? Better than that, like do some sort of market study and find out what kind of candy people buy the most. And if it's Raisinettes, say, you over there with the Raisinettes. And that would really fucking freak
that
people out.
You're talking,
that's a gimmick.
It is a gimmick. You know, I mean, well, you're talking, who was the guy who had the Tingler? And,
the Tingler?
Yeah, say, John Goodman did a movie about it, Matinee.
Right.
But there was a director, I can't remember his name, but he was all about gimmicks. He would like have people outside of his movies selling life insurance policies in case you died while watching.
And that's smart.
Yeah.
And he had theaters install little buzz boxes on seats, so like something would happen and your seat would vibrate and that would startle the hell out of people.
Yeah.
You're talking about using everyone's sensation as far as to promote the scare, because if you're just watching a movie, you have the 3D, but if you add in that other dimension of, smell
tactile,
and that sort of tactile thing, it makes it much
William
more
Castle.
William Castle, yes.
William Castle, that's right.
And, I remember
you just got to cross over into the real world, is what it's looking like.
Yeah. You really have
it's
to
not
make,
easy to do.
You really have to address that disconnect people have of sitting there and watching movies. And like, I'm watching this movie.
I'm watching the Blair Witch Project. There's a witch in it. I'm so scared.
Yeah. But if
so, it would be more like a theme park type movie. Theme.
Yeah. There used to be a great. I don't know if it's still there. But Disney World had an alien encounter ride.
Oh yeah,
that
was really
cool.
They took it out a few years ago. Yeah. It was genuinely creepy. Because it had all the elements, people would, the lights would go out and one of the lab techs would be killed and they'd spray warm water on you. Just like mist warm water on you. So it would startle the hell out of you, I think something like that, but then you're talking, that's expensive.
Fuck that. Yeah. You know what? What are we just, Avatar, $320 million to make? That was like one of the biggest gambles of all time.
Yeah, but
it just happened to pay off.
It was able to be shown in countless theaters, whereas this what we're talking about would have to be in a specific location like Disney World or something
or
like that.
Or be easily mobile.
And instead of charging like $10 to get in, be charging
$30. You know what? Make a movie about a chainsaw killer and go in every big city and pay a pay a homeless guy to run through the theater with a chainsaw. I mean, it might
take
something.
You don't want to pay homeless people to do things. Well, it doesn't pan out.
Well, fine. Pay college students.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. it actually might take something like that to actually, you know, getting into the fourth dimension, so to speak, the actual real world, scare people. I think we talked a little bit about that with Inception, where I said that movie would have, like, you know, really hit me hard if, like, walking out of the theater, everybody was looking at it, you know?
Yeah.
That would be so cool if you actually got to that point to where you actually, you know, got into the real world.
College students stare at the patrons of the movie as they exited the building.
Mm-hmm. You know, that would be a brave movie, but it looks like, to me, we don't know how to make a scary movie.
I have a scary movie that...
Are you going to be talking about your sorority movie?
Well, you see, the way this happens is there's a kid who's just recently gone to college, and he is hazing for a thing. And
you've already lost your audience.
And then you see the ghosts, you see one of the ghosts...
Hey, what segment's next?
To the...
Okay, we'll be back with the next segment.
We'll be back with the next segment here in a moment.
Top six of our scary movies. We had a disconjointed discussion at best, talking about what it's going to take to make a scary movie. I don't think it's in us. You know, I think we might have something with that whole 3D idea.
I think we're just going to have to make Alone in the Dark 3.
There you go.
Was there a second one?
Yeah, it was directed.
Oh, that's horrible. Horrible.
And I'm sure it was better than the first.
But, you know, this actually might add a little bit of layers to why it is that we had had a bad time, you know, figuring this out, and what it is that makes, you know, the three of us scared, you know, turns us into dumb little girls. Ethan, what's your number six scary movie?
My number six scary movie is the 1960 film Psycho.
Okay.
By Alfred Hitchcock. I think Alfred Hitchcock is the master of suspense, master of scaring you effectively. I think Psycho is a great example of, that I point people to, of, here's a movie that you can, here's a slasher film, done before slasher films, where you didn't have buckets of gore pumping out of every orifice.
The shower scene is done so exceptionally
The shower scene
well.
Took days to film, and the blood in that scene is chocolate syrup.
Mm-hmm. There's not a single shot of there being, you know, blade connecting with flesh.
Yep. I mean, it is a well done masterpiece of a movie, where you have some great twists, and Hitchcock does a great job of directing you one way and then completely pulling the carpet out and taking you in a different way.
I mean, I don't, you know, let's say
I've actually never seen it.
It's a great film.
Let's say that
don't
they
seem
never
to
be no,
the new, like,
that's been insane.
Yeah. Let's say that there was never a movie named called Psycho came out.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say that somehow, some way that, like, horror movies came out, you know, we didn't get desensitized to these kinds of things. Psycho would not work in today.
No.
Because of the pulling the, you know, like you said, pulling the carpet out from under you, what with Janet Leigh actually not being the lead in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
What she died 45 minutes into the movie,
yes.
Something like that. You know, great movie. You know, like the whole, like the twist with Janet Leigh not being the bad mm-hmm. guy. Absolutely mm-hmm. awesome.
It follows her character for the first 45 minutes of the movie. And
kills
you get connected
ass.
With her, and I mean, because she steals money from her boss.
Right, she's a bad.
Yeah, does all this, and she's conflicted. She thinks she decides she's going to take the money back, and so she stops at this hotel, and then she's murdered.
Yeah.
And then from that point on, you're not following her anymore.
First time a toilet is ever seen flushing in a mainstream Hollywood movie as well.
Interesting.
Right? And then the whole thing with the twist ending with it being Norman Bates. Mm-hmm. I mean, all around, fantastic.
Yeah, and Norman and Anthony Perkins plays Norman Bates in it, and pretty much is the basis for the calm psycho killer that you have.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, I really say that Anthony Hopkins owes a lot to him.
I agree.
For Hannibal Lecter, I mean, he's this very subdued. I'm a very nice person, but I will. But I also kill people.
You.
And he, you know, and Norman Bates was a very nice, very normal person. It was his mother that was the psycho.
Yes.
But she happened to be residing inside of Mr. Norman.
Right. Yes.
Could not agree with you more, Ethan. Excellent choice for number six. Shay, what's your number six?
I found out, looking for a Hitchcock movie, and I realized I have never actually watched a Hitchcock movie.
Does not surprise me.
You have not
all.
Lived, Shay.
I watched.
And I'll point out, Psycho is not my favorite Hitchcock movie.
What confused me was
me
I
neither.
Actually...
Hell, it's not even my favorite Hitchcock suspense movie. I think it's probably the best done, but I think The Birds is really frightening, too.
I used to watch a television show, Alfred Hitchcock Presents, mm-hmm. and so I thought I'd seen a bunch of Alfred Hitchcock stuff, and I have seen a bunch of Alfred Hitchcock stuff, mm-hmm. but it was all just television hour-long stuff.
Oh, yeah. Great show.
Yeah, but it was excellent. But my number six is The Cell. That's it came out in 2000, directed by Tarzan Singh.
Jennifer
Lopez, Vincent D'Onofrio,
Dylan Baker, and Colton James.
Wow.
Written by Mark Protosbeck. This list I've made based off of movies that were important to me, and that was pretty much it. I didn't really go for technical value. It's just the Cell is a movie that I watched and felt was very visual, less so narratively, but it reminded me of there was another movie like The Dreamscape or something like this that had a similar premise.
Dreamscapes and Nightmares.
It was where people were dream diving and
gotcha.
People to solve problems. But it was just the visuals in it were just so profound. They were frightening just in and of themselves, the phantasmagoric grotesquery of The Cell is something that I will never forget.
I think The Cell is a fantastic movie. Vincent D'Onofrio, fuck me in the goat ass, but I thought he got robbed of an Oscar nomination that year. I thought he was very good in it. I thought it was a very well-made movie. It's nowhere near my top six. I mean, but I think I've established, especially with the previous segment, that
your version of this is a little bit.
It's going to be different from this, and there are no movies that scare me, and so I just have to build this list off of horror movies, scary movies that I think are done well. And so, therefore, my number six is the 1960 99% Fresh film by Alfred Hitchcock, Psycho. I'm agreeing with Ethan. Fantastic movie. Doesn't scare me. I think it's very well done. And I think that people in our age bracket are kind of screwed when it comes to horror movies because mm-hmm. I think that more than most of the ones on my list have come out before I was born, and we are very much desensitized.
Almost, yeah.
But Psycho was very well done, and mm-hmm. And there was, it's just
a lot of our generation grew up with the slasher film.
Yeah,
right.
as horror. And I like slasher films. I'm not scared of them, but I like them. Alfred Hitchcock, 1960 Psycho. It's hard to beat. That's my number six. Ethan, what's your number five?
Well, I'm going for another oldie, one of my personal favorites. The 1968 film, Night of the Living Dead.
Okay.
Directed, obviously, all that by George Romero. This is the original Night of the Living Dead.
I like the remake a lot, too, though. I like the original better, but I think the remake
A zombie movie on here because I think a zombie movie isn't necessarily about the monsters.
No.
It's more of a study of the human condition, and I think a good horror movie does that. It takes a look at, okay, yes, you have this horrible situation, but how bad are people going to be to each other in this
right.
situation? And this movie sort of is
this movie is
an illustration of that.
And
it's a great movie. Done on an incredibly low budget.
Yes.
Very gory for the time. Black and white, but it's still a great movie. I mean, it still has some punch to it today.
I'll never forget the scene where they're basically fighting over who where to do in the house. They're freaking out and they're starting to turn on each other, basically, as they're like, oh,
you just want that motherfucker in the basement to die all the way through the
movie. And
the
you're watching the movie, and there is that sense of isolation, that sense of, well, we're in this farmhouse, help is supposedly on the way, how long can we hold out here type of thing, and I think that's one of the things that makes that movie.
And it's got
the
zombies banging on the walls mm-hmm. and pushing through the windows and that kind of mm-hmm. thing. Yeah.
I love these zombie movies. Great choice, Ethan. Okay, number five.
My number five is 48% fresh. We mentioned it just a moment ago. Directed by James Wan and written by Leah Whannell. Also starring Leah Whannell. Saw the first one, 2004. I haven't seen any of the other Saws, but I really liked the first
I like the series.
I haven't seen any of the rest.
It's funny that you say that, and like, Saw is one of those film series. Ethan can be a stuck up stick in the mud all he wants.
Saw premise is really phenomenal. It is. He's not killing people. He's putting them in extraordinarily uncomfortable positions.
Saw is one of those rare film series that the original is not the best. I like the Saw series. I like it a lot. I didn't put it on my list, and it's basically because I was easily able to build this list off of the building blocks of the horror genre.
Right.
But I like the Saw movies. I mean, the last two weren't very good, but like the second, third, and the fourth are pretty good.
You know one of the things that's interesting to me is that I actually discussed creating a role-playing game based off of the same premise several years before Saw came out. It was about the villain was a guy who put people in a position to kill each other, and the players were going to be in basically the characters in Saw. What? It's just a simple fact. I mean, it was one of the things that makes it really interesting to me.
So Ethan chose Night of the Living Dead for his number five.
A good movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie. I like Saw. I like the series. I'm going to go see Saw 3D when it comes out. It's not on my list. I want to get a zombie movie in here, too. But if I'm choosing a Romero movie, you know, Night of the Living Dead's got that original kitsch factor going for it.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the zombie movies, I honestly prefer Day of the Dead. To me, it's a more interesting zombie story.
And I haven't seen that.
I really enjoy that, but fuck all that. I chose Shaun of the Dead for my number five.
Shaun of the Dead.
You know, it's just...
That's hardly a horror
scary,
movie.
Dude.
Yeah.
Damn
funny.
It has some great horror moments.
It is a well-done horror movie. I mean, it's a well-done zombie movie.
It is
91% directed by Edgar Wright, made in 2004. And that's something that's interesting to me is it's made so late, but it's such a well-done zombie movie. It has all those funny moments in it, but it literally has really good horror movie elements. Quit fucking me up!
Sorry.
And I really like it. I like Edgar Wright. I love Simon Pegg. And mm-hmm. I think they're really, really, really well-made movies. Ethan, number four.
Well, my number four is going back even farther. The 1956 film, Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Ooh, speaking of losing control of yourself.
Yes. A movie that is such a product of the 50s of the spread of communism type of motif, but it is if you go to sleep, you're taken over, and mm-hmm. you become emotionless, you yourself become the monster,
right.
And all you have to do is fall asleep.
I just think it's a
well-done movie. It's fun to watch. It's fun to, they've done several horrifyingly bad remakes, I should say.
I liked the one I saw recently. I think it was the most recent remake. I watched it on television at some point.
Most recent one was with Nicole Kidman and David
Crane.
That was
a
piece of shit.
And it was a piece of shit.
This
movie...
They cured them.
That was bad.
Well, whereas you have a good movie, this one has a good social commentary on it. As far as they get rid of all the bad stuff, but they also get rid of what makes you human. And the original ending of the movie has him running down the street saying you're next, and then the studio filmed the new bit that gave him some hope of
at
the end.
They wanted a happy ending.
That's dumb.
And it's one of my personal favorites of all time.
Nice.
Good movie. Shay, number four.
My number four is Alien Cubed.
Is what? Alien 4?
Alien 3.
Alien 3. It's the, not Alien 4.
Isn't Cubed 4? They did it.
No, Cubed did it.
No, Cubed.
Cubed's 3. They did it. They
you like Alien 3? You're fucking fired.
I like
Go
all
away.
Of the Alien movies, actually. I really like Alien 4, but it's not really...
He's fired.
It's not really horror. I think of all of the Alien...
It's bad, is what it is.
I think I loved it. I thought...
I will tell you, I do have Alien 3, the pre-cut, the the one that came
it's
out.
It's still a piece of shit.
Alien 3 was
it's
great.
It's better than the theatrical
release. Scary.
So was the fucking Renegade release of Highlander 2, but it's still a piece of shit.
The thing, I picked Alien 3 because it's a movie that scared me to a certain extent. I mean, like you, Aaron, I'm very rarely scared by movies. But there was something very, very frightening about Alien 3 and the way it was presented, with them running around. They were all sort of very powerless and scared there was, you know, after Alien 2, where they just fought like an armada of aliens, when they fought like a whole army of aliens, this one little creature was sneaking around, and just the suspense of it.
Three?
No, there was one. There was only one.
There was more than one in three.
No, there was one.
There was at least two.
No, there was
because there was three in the cage, and the one killed the one, wasn't
no,
there?
No, no.
You're thinking of the fourth one.
There was the one that was, yeah. There
was, I am. I'm sorry.
There was the one.
Three
that,
still sucks though.
The one that escaped. The one that came out of the little girl, and the one that was in
Alien 3. Wasn't
Ripley.
It the one that was born out of the ox? Or am I still thinking of the
yes,
fourth one? No, it's the one where they landed on a prison planet. Mm-hmm. And she had to explain to them what was going on, mm-hmm. and it also set up the premise of Alien 4, which was that this—that was how the company found out about the aliens. Or no, wait, no, that wasn't
sorry,
Aliens.
You mentioned Alien 4. I had a mental.
No, but I really like Alien 4, but it was definitely not horror. But Alien 3, I felt, was a very horrific movie the way it was done, even more so than Alien, the one, Alien the first, or Aliens. Aliens was much more of an action movie, but Alien 3. Was, I think, a very horrific sort of movie, and I think they did a really good job of
very horrific.
Making the aliens seem scary because of it was sneaking around, it was taking them out in the corners, you never knew when it was going to show up.
Yeah.
And then you had the, like, enemy within of the queen alien that's in Ripley. And that was, I thought, one of the most horrific elements of it was that Ripley, our hero, was now basically sacrificed to the alien beings. Sorry. Okay.
So, Aaron, so talk about scary. I'm actually going to rip a page out of Shay's book here. But I'm going to rip out the good page. I'm going to pick the 1979 Alien, done by Ridley Scott.
The good horror one.
The good horror one. That was one that, when I was building my list, I thought it should be on my list, and I went out and I rented the Alien Quadrology DVDs.
Quadrology.
Whatever.
I think it just came out on Blu-ray.
I don't know if it's quite out yet, but it's
suited. I think it came out, like, yesterday on Blu-ray.
Well, it very well might. Well, it would have been today, because today... Well, no,
Tuesday.
Tuesday
is the release
date.
Real
soon on Blu-ray.
Really soon. I really liked Aliens, the sequel. Great fucking...
action movie.
Do you want to see my number three?
Is it Alien as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alien?
Wow, see, Aliens.
I think it's such a neat idea to have such a claustrophobic
mm-hmm.
movie in such a big space,
mm-hmm.
as in outer space.
Yeah, well, it's big outer space. It's also in the size of their ship. It's
yeah.
like, it's an old processing thing.
Yeah, it's huge.
Ginormous. It's like the size of a city, yet you feel so cramped in it.
Yeah.
And it's so... It is really that we have everywhere to run, but we have nowhere to run.
Exactly.
Right.
And it's that the movie does a great job of setting up with all 8-9 characters that are
something
there,
like that. Yeah.
Of having all those characters in there, and you feel like you know them enough, you know, there's enough sort of real type of interaction with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know, Kane gets a face hugger on his face, and then you know.
And then he shows up in Spaceballs.
And then he shows up on Spaceballs, and it's special.
Yeah.
But Alien is. Easily one of the best horror movies.
I agree, and it was so good. It didn't want, you know, I've seen it, you know, probably a dozen times. It's never scared me, but it's such a well-made movie.
Mm-hmm. No, it's another one of those that lets your brain fill in the gaps. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you have the chains hanging down and all this different piping going around, and you're only like, oh, is that the alien over there, or is that...
Watching those movies,
yeah.
I have to add in something that's completely inappropriate for this list, but it needs to be said. I have two huge bitches about that entire series of movies. I hate the fact that you kill the alien the same way 3 times out of 4 in those movies, getting sucked into space, granted with some sort of interesting difference.
Sure.
And like the twist of the movie being that there's a fucking android amongst the crew.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that just strikes me as being lazy. But I love those first two movies. The second one isn't scary at all.
It's not supposed to.
No, a very cool movie.
It has moments that are supposed to be scary, but
right.
ultimately it's a sci-fi action film. And it's a great movie. I love it. I love the second movie. The first movie, however, is brilliant much horror. Better. You know. It's my number three as well. So I mean that was your number four. It's my number three.
What's your number three, Shay?
My number three is Nightmare on Elm Street 3 Dream Warriors.
That is the best Nightmare on Elm Street movie.
You know what I really like about it?
The fact that, well, I don't know what you like about it, but what I like about it is it's one of the only slasher movies where the protagonists of the movies are not just stupid little...
Completely lame, right.
They're not stupid big titty bitches. You know, they actually fight back. They actually add to the ongoing story.
There's a conflict. Patricia Arquette.
Yeah.
It's her first movie, actually. It's also one of the early appearances of Lawrence Fishburne.
It's true. I really enjoy the first Nightmare on Elm Street, but the third one is, I pat Shay on the head for that.
Well, what's interesting is...
There's bad ones, but that's the best.
The character Will Stanton, named after a character from a book, The Dark Rising, is a dungeon master.
Yeah.
And when he's in the dream realm, he uses his dungeon mastery. And that's what, like, when I saw that movie as a kid, I was like, hey, look, a dungeon master. But, and interestingly enough, when I was looking up the information online, couldn't find
a midget in a red robe?
No, he was just a...
He's a fucking geek.
He was a geek in a wheelchair.
Big, black, thick... plastic rim glasses.
And as I was looking it up on IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes, Wikipedia, all these things, no mention of him being a dungeon master. He's just referenced as a geek in a wheelchair. I thought it was kind of interesting.
No, I like that one. I mean, it's unique. It is the most unique of the Nightmare on Elm Street.
They're not powerless. They're not just running from the villain. They're taking control.
It's hardly a good movie. But
it's stuck in my memory forever, and it may have a lot to do with the fact that it's there was a dungeon master involved in the movie, but nonetheless, it's a Nightmare on Elm Street movie, and I think that Nightmare on Elm Street probably deserves to be mentioned in this list somewhere at some point.
Not really.
No.
I like the first one.
Well, come on, Freddy. I mean, he's the night demon.
Blah, 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 blah.
I've seen the first one. It was awful.
I like the first one, okay. As far as my number... What am I on? Three?
Three, mm-hmm. Yes.
As far as my number three... I need to pick between two. I guess I'll go ahead and throw my only 100% off of RottenTomatoes.com. 1975, Steven Spielberg, Jaws. I'm a big fan of Jaws. Is it really a horror movie?
I didn't consider it one, so I didn't put it on my list.
Shit, it's scary, though.
Yeah.
I mean, just in terms
of... It's an awesome movie.
It's just such a well-made movie. I mean, it's... But I think I've said before on the show that Steven Spielberg did not choose that. It was because of the production blowing up into space and him not being able to use the shark in 90% of the scenes. But it's just like, you know, I'm a lot more scared of getting eaten by a shark than I am getting attacked by Freddy fucking Krueger or attacked by an alien. I mean, it's a well-made movie.
Plausible that a shark might attack you.
Probably not Lawrence, Kansas.
Demon out of your nightmares should show up or something.
Maybe. Ethan, what's your number two?
My number two is another oldie, a 1963 film called The Haunting, directed by Robert Wise.
I have no idea what's talking
about. The Haunting was remade badly in the late 90s, starring Liam Neeson, who we love.
We do.
And Catherine Zeta-Jones, too. It's beautiful.
And apparently a real bitch, apparently.
Hey, you know, you look like that.
Sure.
But The Haunting is, it's more commonly known as, thought of the Haunting of Hill House, House on Haunted Hill type of thing, but those are different. The Haunting deals with a haunted house that's much more of a, much, much more phantasmagoric, but the whole movie is done using... The ghosts and the different types of effects in it are all done using odd camera angles, shadow effects, and things like that, because it's a 1963 black and white movie. And it does a great job of basically making this sort of creepy gothic type of house the villain of the movie by not really doing anything. There's no one running around with a chainsaw. There's no one in there with a sheet over their head. There's no ghosts in it per se, but the ghosts are there. You hear them, you sense them, you feel that they're there.
Okay.
And it's more this sort of maddening type of atmosphere. It's one of my favorite scary movies of all time.
Interesting.
The Haunting, 1963.
You've piqued my interest. I want to see this now.
It's not that good. Go ahead and watch it. It's better than anything you've mentioned so far. What's your number two, say?
My number,
number
two,
three.
Number three.
Two.
No, number two.
Yeah. Yeah.
1983, directed by Jack Clayton and written by Ray Bradbury, starring Jason Robards and Jonathan Pryce. Something Wicked This Way Comes.
Never seen it.
It's about a evil circus. Mr. Dark is the head of the circus, and he comes in and he starts making bargains with people. For example, a woman asks to be young and beautiful, but he then takes her voice away. Sort of a deal with the devil kind of movie where all these people are making these sort of bargains with Mr. Dark, and they're getting shafted, basically, in some way or another. And it's, you know, the name of the movie is inspired by the Shakespearean, by the prickling of my thumb, Something Wicked This Way Comes. And the main character, played by Jason Robards, is a young boy who is refusing to play ball, because, like, the entire town is just like, let's make a bargain, you know, let's make a deal, let's go to the mayor, the funhouse mirror. There's a scene where he is, because Mr. Dark can't get him to can't draw him into this, he sends spiders to, like, attack his bedroom, and so his whole bedroom is covered in spiders, and something that gave me nightmares for a little while. There was this idea of the tarantulas just attacking someone's bedroom. And, you know, it's like the dawn comes and they disappear and all this kind of thing. And eventually he sort of drives Mr. Dark out and all this kind of thing. It has a happy ending kind of thing, but it's a very creepy movie about sort of like dealing with the devil of like, you're going to get screwed.
We all know that carnies are.
Well, yeah.
Shit, yeah, it's really like car.
Sort of a carnival of terror. Without any clowns, interesting enough, actually. Small hands.
Plus there are clowns.
No, there were no clowns, actually.
My number two is a movie that I don't know if I've ever said on the show, but I like to repeat things a lot. Well, I don't like to. I just happen to repeat things a lot.
Just in case you forgot.
And Rachel will totally back me up on this. It's a 96% fresh, 1991, fantastic horror film that actually happened to win Best Picture at the Academy Awards. I'm actually talking about The Silence of the Lambs.
Ooh, good movie.
Fantastic movie, very, very, very excellent bad guy antagonist in Hannibal Lecter. I think that Buffalo Bill is really fucking scary as well. And it's just...
Really
it always blows my mind to see him on Monk.
I know.
Yeah, really.
And I love Stottlemyre.
And one of these days on the Red Phone, so I'm going to do the Goodbye Horses naked dance where I do the tuck in. It's going to be hot. But at any rate.
Can I not be here for that?
No, yeah, you got to be.
It's going to be the episode one.
If you're not here, who's going to do the tuck back?
Granted.
The Silence of the Lambs.
I would want to stay touching that either.
The Silence of the Lambs is a very well-made movie. And, you know, it won the Oscar, and everyone likes to talk about how good Anthony Hopkins is. Mm-hmm. Every time
the Oscar was amazing.
She was. She won an Oscar as well. Every time I watch that movie, I forget how good of a movie it is. I mean, it is just such a well-made movie.
Well, it's one of those that's it's been emulated so much since then.
It has, and you can't come close. I mean, shit. Hannibal was not... Ethan's going to say Hannibal blew and it sucked and it should be shoved up the ass of a leopard's hooker.
No,
it's not that bad.
It's not very good.
It's not...
It isn't very good.
It's not very good.
Red Dragon is not nearly as bad.
I like Red Dragon.
No, I liked Red Dragon. I like Hannibal Lecter a lot.
The problem is they came out the gate with Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
And that was just amazing.
Manhunter was really good, too.
Manhunter was good.
Manhunter was excellent. Yeah. Brian Cox is Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
I love Brian Cox.
Manhunter's a great movie. Michael Mann.
Great movie. I think he's one of my top six favorite directors.
Mm-hmm. But they came out with that, and then they did later, many, many, many years later, they did Hannibal, and they did Red Dragon. And
I still haven't seen Hannibal.
The problem is they're
not going to bother.
They're comparing it. You compare it to... You're going to inevitably compare it to Silence of the Lambs. It's like, well...
God, I couldn't disagree more with doing that.
No,
they're completely separate kinds of movies.
Mm-hmm.
But man,
that people don't get that though.
Silence of the Lambs is just such a good movie. Mm-hmm. It is so well acted. It is so well scripted. It's so well. It's
well
just
done.
It's just a well done movie. And shit. And
would you say that it came together well?
It came together horribly.
What?
I like movies that don't come together well.
No, but
I wouldn't say it did come together well, but it came together well in the humanity of the performances. Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, it could have so easily been overdone.
Yeah.
Manhunter was overdone, but it was overdone well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Silence of the Lambs is just absolutely believable. Ethan, what's your number two?
Number one. We're at number one. And you already know what my number one is. It's actually the most, oddly, I'm looking at my stuff. Yeah, I believe it's the most recent film on my list. Is the 1982 movie Poltergeist. Directed by Tobe Hooper, written by Steven Spielberg.
I did not know that was done by Tobe Hooper, really.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Blew my mind, too.
I had
Tobe
no
Hooper
idea.
Did, who did
Texas Chainsaw
Texas
Massacre.
Chainsaw Massacre.
That was a good movie, too.
And Poltergeist, I went for the longest time without seeing Poltergeist. I saw it for the first time maybe 5 years ago, and it is a movie that takes all of those childhood fears you have of, you know, it's like the
shove them up your ass
of the your the monster under your bed,
right,
of
yeah.
the of the tree at your window is actually trying to break the window to
get you,
and it takes all of those fears and it does them, and it doesn't do it in a way. It's not a gory movie. The movie's PG for crying out loud.
Wow, for a
granted,
horror.
I think it also obviously they didn't have PG-13 at the time. If they did, it would probably have been PG-13. But it has a...
cursed movie set as well.
Yeah, yes, cursed movie. Don't see Poltergeist 2 or 3.
Are you going to get to that, the curse of the set?
I can talk about
do
that.
Interesting.
But essentially in Poltergeist is you have an antagonist that is this faceless force, this entity, this thing that you can't... You don't know
stuff.
What it is, you don't know where it goes, you don't know any of that. However, when you have these characters running around in this house, and all this crazy crap starts happening. I mean, and there are some moments of levity in there where, you know, the paranormal investigators show up and they're very skeptical, and the family has been going through this for days now,
yeah.
You know, and they're like, uh-huh.
Uh-huh,
it's like,
yeah.
But the dishes are flying. Yep. Alrighty then.
Yeah.
But it's one of the. It's definitely my favorite scary movie, just because it just takes that level of those childhood fears that you have and uses them against you, and it's just one of the done.
I've heard good things about Poltergeist.
The curse.
Don't do it for me, but yeah. Please do talk about the curse.
Yes, there's a. The little girl who is in it, if you watch the movie, the little girl in it, the movie incidentally was filmed at the same time E.T. was. It's in the same neighborhood.
Yeah. Really?
So, because Steven Spielberg was running back and forth between producer duties on this and directing E.T. The curse of the film, and you might have to jump in and fill in some blanks here.
Way too dumb to do that.
Alrighty.
People died.
The little girl, there's a lot of deaths associated with it. On the second movie, which dealt with like a Native American
very
type
around.
Of thing.
Covered very hilariously in Family Guy, by the way.
Yes, the Native American actor that is in it, plays a shaman, is a real shaman, blessed the set, and later on he died. The actor who, my problem with the second and third movies, they gave the entity a face. They basically said, it's
yeah.
this guy.
Yeah.
That the actor who played him in the second movie died shortly thereafter. In the first movie, the little girl has an older sister. And I think it was even before the movie came out, she was attacked by her boyfriend at the time.
Strangled,
and I think she was put into a coma.
For like fucking 7 years.
Yes, before she died. And that's why it's in the second and third movie, there's no mention of her at all.
Same thing with the little girl.
And the little girl died in the middle of filming the third movie.
TSS.
Yeah. And they had a body double in it. And,
toxic shock syndrome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's a lot of weirdness that sort of follows through the whole all three movies, but there's that, you know, it's the haunted set type of thing.
That's creepy.
But yeah. So yeah, Poltergeist.
Huh.
Great film.
What's your number one, Shay?
Oh, you know what it is.
It?
Yeah.
And why?
I hate clowns. Because I had nightmares about Pennywise showing up and like, eating me for, like...
Especially your balls.
No, particularly my hands, just to be specific, but for years, literally years. I watched this movie, I watched Killer... It was a clown night, which... I watched Killer Clowns from Outer Space and It in the same night, and it just, forever, ever afterwards, I was about 8, I think, and...
You would have been...
I didn't sleep with a nightlight, but after I watched It, I went and I got a nightlight to keep Pennywise away from my room. I swear to God.
He might come, you never know.
And the premise, the thing about It that scares me, and me and Aaron were talking about this earlier, was it's not the movie per se. It's just the concept of this thing that lives off of your own fear and is as powerful as your fear of it. That kind of something, an entity of that nature, that's just, just being like... I'm thinking about it now. I'm starting to like.
That looks like a clown. Sure.
Yeah, the clown part didn't help it, but this being that is unstoppable, unkillable, and as long as you have any kind of fear of it, it's going to be able to get you. Just creepy. Where's my lighter?
Don't burn that. It's not mine. Rachel, what's your favorite scariest movie of all time?
Off the top of my head, the one that affected me most was It.
It?
Yeah, when I was younger.
How about you, Gary?
I had dreams for years about dark,
scariest movie
where I was being chased by It.
Yeah.
And the only way to wake him was to crawl up above space.
Christine?
Crawl up above the movie,
car?
Basically.
Yes.
Christine?
Yeah.
Christine?
Yeah.
The Stephen King movie with the fucking car?
Yeah, the black.
Beth, Chris, Christine.
It's It. Yeah.
It's It.
See, scary movie.
I think would now be an awkward moment for me to say I've never seen It.
It's not good.
I'm not watching it with
it's
you.
Actually,
it's
not
ever.
Good. It's actually relatively.
It's not.
I have to say, the first time that I watched it all the way through when I was a teenager, I was like, "What the hell?" That's it.
It's not very well made.
Yeah, you like, you know,
it's not very well acted.
Yeah, the acting is really flat.
It's like fucking.
Storytelling is really kind of.
It's like 72 hours long.
So what's your number one there?
My number one is Exorcist.
Oh,
The Exorcist.
My number one's The Exorcist.
Yeah, I was more creeped out in The Exorcist that it was quote based on true events.
Exorcist? What?
It's The Exorcist.
The house is in Baltimore.
Your house is in Baltimore.
That house.
I've been there.
I have too. I lived in Baltimore.
Did you? I was married to a whore that lived around me.
I apologize.
She didn't charge. She's just a slut.
She charged me. Thousands of dollars. But at any rate, when it comes down to The Exorcist, I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in demons. I don't believe in ghosts.
You don't believe in ghosts?
No, I don't. I don't believe in any of those things. Whether Shay's seen them or not, he sees leprechauns. I don't believe in those.
Do not.
There's one right here.
It's a very well-made movie. Very well-made, very suspensefully made. I think that movie makes people uncomfortable because of the whole... You know, there are people that believe and don't believe in God. And they're not comfortable just flat-out saying they don't believe in God. And
Like
I am. But I'm not very comfortable saying it. Okay. I don't believe in God, but if he sends a fucking demon to live in my asshole, that would scare the shit out of me. And I think the fact that this movie capitalizes that on such a high level that it affects people in a huge level. I think it's a very well-made movie. I think it's scary as it can be, and the fact that it is based on a real story is really fucking scary. They fucked the original in the ass, like Seven Ways to Sunday, making all those sequels. Mm. But the original is so good. And, you know, I don't like the director's cut. I like the original the best.
From a purely technical perspective, I really like the idea of putting the
original.
I've seen
the original. You used to own the original.
But putting that grotesquity in the form of that sort of like
your mother sucks cocks in hell, Paris.
You know, a little girl, you know, she should have bows in her hair and you know, flowers on her dress.
Instead, she's fitting out pea soup.
And like making, you know, sexual commentary with the priest is just like, oh wow, wait a minute.
What's the scariest movie ever, Casey?
I don't believe that movies are scary. All the scary movies make me laugh.
Okay, yes, but what's the scariest movie? I mean, you can use Clerks if you want or something.
Showgirl.
Do we have Halloween
from back in the day? One of the first Halloween.
Silent Hill.
I can stick pretty much anything you picked as an honorable mention that I didn't already pick.
I mean, I could easily put Birds or really
Hitchcock.
Vertigo. I really liked the most recent movie, The Mist.
Was that the kind of Thomas Jane where they killed himself in the truck at the end?
Yes.
That was fucking retarded. I've had scarier shits in that movie.
I'm sure you have had scarier shits. That's what we were talking about, Aaron.
It's a horrible movie. Not a good movie.
I liked it. Probably the movie most recently that actually bugged me enough that I had a little issue getting to sleep that night was the Ring.
Ooh, Ring.
And that was just the image.
The image was the little girl.
And it's not really the movie itself, but the image of the girl coming out of the TV that freaked me out.
The Blair Witch Project is really well marketed.
I hated that movie.
Yeah.
Really well marketed. The movie sucked.
Yeah.
But
I was one of those people who walked out of the Blair Witch going like, you owe me money.
Me too, but it was really well marketed.
And I like Paranormal Activity.
I watched that the other day.
I like the premise, but it's just too much waiting for not enough.
My total hats off for the way they made that movie.
Yeah,
they made it for like $1.86, and they made a shitload of money off of it.
$30,000 to make it.
But it was just, it didn't do it for me.
It made like $2 billion.
And I'm sorry, but I like the Saw movies.
The funny thing to me,
I don't apologize for it.
And that's your loss. It's okay.
It's not my loss.
Having seen a couple of ghosts, I'm not scared.
Seven Samurai. That's a piece of shit that scared me.
I've never been frightened by a ghost. So ghost movies don't really bother me.
Again, your loss.
I like them.
So there we go.
So I guess we got everybody in the room. How about you, Mr. Producer?
Dak. He's a Dak.
Like, I don't watch movies.
You're the producer. He's
like the red phone zone. Scares the shit out of me every time I see you.
Every episode is fucking
terrifying.
Terrifying. Mm-hmm. Right.
And was it for you, dear? Beth?
Yes, she said that.
Yeah, she said it. I threw it at her.
It's creepy.
Okay.
I don't
think I screamed. I may have flatliners.
I'm going to edit it later towards you did scream.
No. The scariest movie was Solaris, because if you make it all the way through that movie without walking out of the theater.
I watched all that movie. It was awful.
It was terrible. That's scary as shit. Yeah.
If you want to be scared, go watch Alone in the Dark and then be afraid for humanity, because that movie was made.
And it made money.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, it did. With the tax credits, it did.
Oh, that's true. But if you look at the grosses, it didn't.
Yeah, I know.
I like the Silent Hill movie. I thought was really well done. I really liked the way that they had the like layers of hell, where like the two people were able to stand right next to each other.
About the layers of hell.
So yes, we have another segment
to do.
We're going on to our next segment.
Layer
at some point,
That was then our top six, where we talked about our top six scary movies. A nice discombobulated mess. Stay tuned. We're gonna be right back for Watch This, when Ethan's going to be making the case of watching Kolchak. We are back with Watch This, where Ethan's going to be making the case of watching Kolchak, The Night Stalker. Ethan, why should I watch this abomination of television?
Well, back in 1974, actually back in 1972, the ABC commissioned a TV movie based on a novel called The Night Stalker, and it starred the main character was named Carl Kolchak.
And he was in The Christmas Story.
Not at this time, but Carl Kolchak, an investigative reporter, who investigated a murder and discovered that it was done by a vampire. Well, that was made into the TV movie The Night Stalker, and it did well enough. The next year, they did The Night Strangler, which was then novelized. And then after that, they were working on a third movie, and then ABC decided to pick it up as a TV series. For 20 episodes, we had Carl Kolchak investigating all sorts of crazy things, including vampires,
aliens,
werewolves, zombies, ghosts, headless bikers,
things that don't even
witches,
define description, really.
Tons of stuff like that. And it has, probably most people know it as, Chris Carter has said it's the predecessor to The X-Files, and it really is.
I watched two episodes of The X-Files. It was pretty good.
Really?
To watch
because Gillian Anderson is redheaded and a chick.
Hey, that's always fun. Kolchak the Night Stalker starred Darren McGavin, who most people know as the old man from the...
Christmas Story.
From A Christmas Story, yes. But Kolchak the Night Stalker, made back in the 70s, a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. It's a... really a sort of an early X-Files type of show where you have, strange things going on, and you have really, I think the thing that makes the series is Darren McGavin, and Darren McGavin does a great job of just handing it up. Yes, he died.
The thing that really makes the show is the fact that nobody ever gives him the time of day or any credit whatsoever. Mm-hmm.
He's always empty-handed by the end of the episode.
I like his
steals his evidence.
It's probably like a nothing, but I like his horrible suit.
Yeah, white suit, straw hat.
It was so out of fashion even then.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't take notes. He has a recorder.
He has a tape recorder. Has a tape recorder. He worked for the Independent News Service in Chicago, I believe, is where it ended up with.
And the thing was, his editor had published the story from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, the first movie was set in Las Vegas, and the second one was set in Seattle, and then the series was set in Chicago.
But they constantly, in the series, the when he brings the stuff to the editor, the editor's like, I don't want to go through that again.
Right.
And he's always referencing the movie,
right.
But like, shut up, Kolchak, I don't want to hear about this
anymore. I love it just because it has sort of this great mythology to it of looking at zombies from voodoo and sort of different sort of campiness of the vampire, and it is the classic, I am vampire, I can't go out at night, you have to run a stake through my heart to kill me.
Not a sparkle fire.
It's not a sparkle fire.
Can't cross river.
No
thorns.
And it's interesting, it goes into that sort of mythology, and it's just a fun little campy show. And yes, there were crappy episodes, but there were also fun episodes.
No, they were all equally craptastic.
There are some really good ones and some awful fucking ones.
Oh, yeah. You haven't made it to... Have you watched all of them yet?
I watched, like, 5 minutes of one.
Oh, there you go. Well, there's one episode where he's dealing with lizard people underneath the...
That's awesome.
And it's bad.
I know whenever I deal with lizard people, it adds up to nothing.
I know. It's always horrifying. It's a great series. The creator of the Sopranos, David Chase, worked on the Kolchak the Night Stalker as his first TV gig. As a script doctor. He worked on the scripts.
Gotcha.
Really, apparently, according to the actors and whatnot, it was a lot of his writing that came into as the sort of character development as far as little ticks characters had, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which really, I think, sort of endeared the show to me. I really enjoyed, like I said, I really enjoyed Darren McGavin as Carl Kolchak.
He was fucking awesome.
I probably watched
like more than most of the Night Stalker.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's very human.
Yeah,
and then when I start, other than the monsters, obviously, but everybody's just very, very.
And, well, he plays this very sympathetic character in it, and it's just a lot of fun to watch. It's one of those TV series not a lot of people know about. It's very Halloween-y.
Very.
You said weenie.
I did say weenie. It's got a lot to do with this time of year where you have, werewolves, vampires, all
weenies.
That stuff running around. Not sparkle fires, and weenie.
Sparkle fires can wait till Valentine's Day or something.
Yeah, or until the sun explodes.
I've seen all those movies.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I feel bad for you.
I've seen one. I'm sorry for you.
I feel bad for me.
Yeah. But like, if you were a fan of the X-Files, if you watched the X-Files, or if you like series like Supernatural, or if you liked Fringe type of thing.
Yeah, it's Fringe.
Is it Jennifer Aniston?
No.
That's Fringe. This is Fringe.
Fringe is a very interesting show.
Where, if you like shows like that, this is a show that is basically a predecessor to it. The ABC tried to remake the series back in 2005 with Stuart Townsend, and it was god-awful bad.
I think we all know that anything that has anything to do with
Stuart Townsend
falls apart.
Yeah. I believe it aired on September 29th, 2005, and on November 14th, ABC canceled it. And they did not air all the episodes, which is good. I made it through half of the first episode and turned it off because it was that bad.
The original series is just very well done and very human and
quite 70s.
Oh, yeah.
You really felt like Kolchak was a real guy who was just trying to make his way through life. Mm-hmm. And
Well, Darren McGavin made the character very, very sympathetic, very human.
You're sitting there going, oh my god, somebody stole his evidence. Oh my god, somebody stole his tape. Oh man, can't get a break.
Well, ultimately, it comes down to it when you watch the show, is he loses his evidence. He loses his story because he stops to help. Because he stops and becomes
he's
part
a,
of the
he's
story.
A good person who really tries to help people.
Yeah, and I think it would have... I know Chris Carter wanted him to appear as the character of Carl Kolchak on the X-Files, but they couldn't obviously do it for various reasons.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
But it would have been fun to see him show up on the X-Files as Carl Kolchak. And
the guy who was
crazy
kind of,
old, yeah, which,
crazy
which,
old guy
which is
who,
different.
Yeah, that'd be
who
awesome.
Had, like, you know, tons of stuff, like, stacked in his apartment and all that.
That would have been a great X-Files episode.
I know, it would have been wonderful, but... Well, you know,
he got sick.
By the time Darren McGavin actually did show up on the X-Files had pretty much started to suck. So, there we go.
Mulder
so
is
that
alien
chapter the second
you know,
episode.
Hero of some kind. And
they had a fucking alien that smoked a cigarette.
No, that was...
I saw a...
Yeah, that was...
I saw a...
Mitchie Chung from Outer Space.
Whatever. I saw a fucking thing at the Star Wars Celebration. Like a toy. It was an alien sitting in a cave smoking a cigarette. Mm-hmm. Felt bad for him.
Yep.
He was in a cage.
Yeah.
I remember that episode. Yeah.
At least he had a cigarette.
So,
I didn't see more than one.
Kolchak the Night Stalker, it is available on DVD and in its excellent completeness. And I think it's a lot of fun.
I liked. I just didn't give myself enough time to watch it all. I wasn't all like, you know, fuck this shit, but.
I watched it when I was younger.
And
it was
today.
On USA or Sci-Fi or something like this.
Sci-Fi Channel showed it.
And I remember,
it's on Chiller now.
Chiller's a channel.
I remember watching it and really, really enjoying it and just really, really getting into it. And I don't remember per se anything specific about it other than the fact that it's just like, oh man, Kolchak just cannot.
He can't catch
a break. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nothing. No, at no point does he ever make any headway. It's always like, okay, he figured out what was going on. He had evidence for like 10 minutes, and then everything goes to hell. And like the editor tells him that he's done with this silly UFO nonsense and stuff like that. I'm gonna fix this real quick. Hold on.
I'll put it out.
It did work.
All you did was use the sonic screwdriver
and open my beer.
All right, but that is my watch list for Kolchak, the Night Stalker.
I actually do recommend watching it.
Yeah.
It's a great show.
What I saw was very entertaining. I was watching other things.
I mean, it's not a show that you would take seriously. It's, you know,
I was trying to build up my top six list because I honestly probably hadn't seen Aliens in 5 years plus, and I felt the need to watch it. But
yeah, I mean, it's not a series that's going to scare you. It's, but, I mean,
no, it's not scary.
But it's a fun little series. It's something that I really enjoy. Obviously, I own the thing, so, you know.
By all means, stole.
It's more of a monster showcase. They basically sort of have Kolchak treat pretty much every monster concept in the book, plus some that they came up with.
Did they do an episode of Sparkle Pliers?
No, it wasn't in the book yet.
No.
And hopefully it will be forgotten soon.
Just like Sparkle Pliers.
That's what I'm talking
about. But that's
Kolchak, and that's Kolchak. Watch this.
Kolchak.
Stay tuned, we're going to be right back with the outro section.
Thank you. touch of mildew emanates from the wet dungeon walls.
Hey, the crowd chased another one in.
Welcome, come in, make yourself comfortable.
What is this place?
Don't worry, you found a gamer's haven.
The Gamer's Haven Podcast at gamershavenpodcast.com.
Yeah, you guys are cool.
And we are back with the outro section. This has been Red Phone Zone issue number 29. Where we, it's kind of our Halloween special. We kind of blew it, but we did talk about our, we did a We Make It of a Scary Movie, and I do not think we reached any consensus.
I made a movie.
Other than the fact that maybe we could.
I embezzled money and went and snorted cocaine off the back of a Thai prostitute.
But I made a movie.
Fuck, that's Tuesday for me.
That's true.
But, yeah, I did think that we reached a consensus of to at least explore the 3D aspect of it. It could be done well.
It's a really interesting concept of having the spiritual realm be right there in the audience in 3D.
And then we did a top six of our top six scariest movies. I don't remember anything about it, but I'm sure it was awesome.
It was. Mine was the best list, obviously.
I'm sure his was probably really cool. And Shay's probably sucked, and mine was probably
awesome.
Somewhere in between the two. Yeah. That's the way they usually
like normal.
Like normal. And then we did a Watch This, the Cold Check, and boy, Lord, I don't remember that at all. I mean, that was like 5 minutes ago. I did enjoy Cold Check, and yeah, it's a good precursor show to the X-Files and things of the sort. So those were an awful lot of fun. I enjoyed this show, believe it or not. I mean, I'm not going to remember it in an hour, but...
You're not going to remember it in 5 minutes.
But I totally remember it in 5 minutes.
So what are we doing next week, Aaron?
Next week is going to be issue one when we start the Red Phone Zone.
Wow!
Motherfucker! Next week is issue number 30.
Yep.
Which is when
big
we're going 3-0. To... Big 3-0. It's going to be when we unveil the newest member of the Indomitable Order of the Son of Ruthoz.
Yep.
Right now we have four nominees. We have Mr. Stan the Man Lee. Mm-hmm. We have Terrence Stamp, otherwise known as General Zod from the Superman movies. We have Will Smith. He's known as the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
The most charming man in Hollywood.
Sure, why not? And we also have the Bagged and Boardcast's very own choice. We decided to throw those guys a bone and let them in on this choice. And they chose Mr. Michael Keaton, otherwise known as Batman or Beetlejuice or Mr. Mom.
I throw them a bone. We desperately beg them to help us gain more viewership.
No, entirely them riding our coattails to fame and glory.
Oh, right.
Yeah, absolutely. So right now, it looks like Mr. Lee is in the lead. And
is that going to be Stan the fucking man, Lee?
The man fucking man. The man fucking man.
I think it should be Stan the fucking man, I think.
I think it's going to be up to him.
Well,
or Stan fucking the man, Lee. Stan fucking the man, Lee. I kind of like that
one.
We
can just drop the man and just do Stan fucking
the
man.
Well, no, because he's Stan the man, Lee. I think it's on his driver's license. Like
it
that.
Has to be.
It's
on his person.
It's actually, it's like, and my son will be Stan the man, Lee.
Wasn't it Stanley Liebowitz?
It's Stanley Lieber.
No, it's Stan the man, Lee.
It's actually Stanley Lieber. It's going to be Stanley fucking Lieber.
But yeah, next week, issue 30, we're going to be doing a segment on each of these people.
Yep.
We're going to be talking about how much they rock and why we think that you should vote for them. And hopefully, right now, I do have my feelers out, and right now, John is going to be joining us via Skype for issue 30. John from the Bagged and Boardcast, you could be making the point to why you should be voting for Michael Keaton. Talking to those guys, it actually seems like they're going to be trying to drag the other people's names in the mud. Not exactly my tactic, but it's the way they're going to be doing it. So, that should be interesting.
You just can't drag Stan down.
No, you can't.
So, does anybody have anything? Anybody have anything to add?
You are so drunk right now.
Yeah, I'm not. I can totally drive. I could.
Into a
all right, hole. You can drive home.
I'm going to drive to your house.
Speaking of which, I'm going to get another beer. Hold on. Bye.
Good luck with
does
that.
Does anybody have anything to like that?
Told you, good luck with that.
Don't drink that. That's mine.
Here you go.
So,
you could give some more alcohol. Grand.
What about the Gamer Saving Podcast?
It's not anywhere.
Is it good or bad?
It's great. It's the best ever.
I haven't been actually catching up with Kim Pass.
I've never watched it. Well, actually I have watched it. Listened to it.
I've unfortunately not watched it. It's one of those things that's on my to-do list, like watch Gamers Haven podcast. It's all about stuff that's really interesting to me. And yeah,
I'm listening to us finish up a series, a cooperative world building series.
You've done that like 4 years, three, three and some change.
As of next month, it will be 4 years. Yes.
Jesus Christ.
No, Ethan.
No, okay. Ethan Parker. Actually.
That's a long time. And it's still Jeremy and Nathan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. How often do you do those interviews?
Try to do the interviews lately. I've been doing about once a week.
Luckily, Gamer
geared up, so I haven't done any recently.
Who was the last one you've done?
Gamers are
The last one I did was freelance game designer T.S. Lucart.
T.S. Lucart?
T.S. Lucart, who is one of the guys who worked on the Dragon Age role-playing game.
When I watched it online, and so abruptly.
Is it awesome?
It is awesome.
It's over?
Okay. Is it Shay? Or is it awesome?
It's awesome.
Oh, way better than Shay.
Wow. Cool. And with that, I'm Aaron.
I'm Ethan.
Hi. Clutch a geek like.